Hello.
Good evening, Squirrel Report.
The recording is on. Tape is rolling.
Tape.
Oh, metaphorically speaking.
Microfiche is recording.
I tell Jim in the sound booth, roll tape.
The cuneiform is being etched.
The wax cylinder is being grooved.
You got an Allen snort out of that one. All right, I'm doing good. So we kick it off with the there's a lot of hypocrisy to talk about.
Jay's raring to go this week, I feel like.
I have a gigantic glass of port, so this is gonna get better and better.
You know what? Before we, I had a question for you, Jay.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, do you ever shop at Aldi? Aldi's there?
I don't have one near us.
Oh, that's too bad. Because I was looking at the Aldi ad for like next week or something. And they have port. And I thought, well,
we do have Totally Wine. So,
I don't know what that is.
I mean,
assuming by the name is.
I'm trying to. It's like. It is to. Well, I. Not really IKEA, but.
The IKEA of wine?
Well, no, I'm trying to, like. It's like the Best Buy. It's like if it exists in the wine world, it's probably there.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And there's one like 2 miles away. So it's pretty awesome. But no, I buy my port at BJ's.
BJ's. We have a BJ's. Okay.
It's a gigantic bottle and it's $8.
The most disappointing store name ever.
Well, it depends on who you go with, Alan.
Apparently. I've only gone with myself, and that just never works.
Yeah, it never works out. You're not that flexible.
No, not that flexible.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You never leave the house.
I'm going to dial it back. Dial back the burrito. Sorry.
I almost port through my nostrils.
Oh, that'll sting.
Yeah, that is not what it may sound. All right.
Oh, man.
Aldi.
Ding.
According to my daughter's texting me. According to. Oh, no.
Tag.
This is. Sorry.
According to the Aldi store locator.
Yes.
I'm. The closest store. Oh, yeah, there is one. I mean, it's not. It's 9 miles away, 8.5 miles away.
That's not bad.
So there is one. There's one in Manassas, Virginia. So I was like waiting for, you know, something like Pittsburgh, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's there's Aldi's everywhere. But Aldi's has been like the first time I went to Aldi, it was like I walked in and I thought it was all like fake food. Because it was.
Like plastic?
All the pack. No. Well, like, not, I thought it was like all generic, like knockoff food, right? Ah. Because all the packaging kind of looks like the name brand and slightly different. And I was just kind of set off, you know, I was put off by Aldi because there's no music and it's basically like a warehouse of food. Everything's in boxes. There's no like shelf things. There's no. It's very, very scaled back. And everything. I learned later that all the Aldi food is made by the actual name brand companies, but they're just making it for Aldi's at a lower price.
Hmm.
So,
interesting.
I do a lot of my shopping there now, but they also have our stores, because it's Ohio, we have alcohol at our stores, and I just saw that they had port. And I thought it would be a great opportunity.
What are you doing to that poor cat?
I'm really sorry. We roasted a chicken.
Is he complaining about the chicken?
Yeah, we roasted a chicken for dinner. And
you're just getting what you deserve, then.
It has been chaos for the past 2 hours because of the chicken. Yeah. Anyway.
I think you didn't have tuna.
So expect a port report.
Very nice.
Soon.
Have you had port before?
I have never had port before.
Oh, well, I think you'll be in for a treat if you like sweet wines.
Well, I like all sorts of stuff, so we'll see.
Ah, it's good stuff. I like it. I'm a fan.
I can tell.
It's good. Just wait till I get to the bottom of this gigantic glass.
Oh boy. Okay. And
it's $1 worth of port. So hey. Shall we begin at the mural?
Yeah.
Sure.
Breed a story in the score report on Facebook. If you're not a member, you should be one. But apparently there was where was it? I was just looking at it. But
San Francisco.
There you go.
Of course.
You could poop on the sidewalk and commission a mural to the 16-year-old environmental activist that used 700 cans of spray paint, releasing chlorofluorocarbons into the atmosphere. Well done, San Fran. Well done.
They claim that it was CFC free paint.
I doubt that.
The only problem is I did a Google search for CFC free paint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Of course, this mural has also morphed into a treasure trove of memes, such as Greta shooting laser beams out of her eyes at SUV.
So Home Depot carries a line of CFC free paint.
Okay.
13 ounces for $10 a bottle.
Yep.
And they're saying they use 700 bottles. So
it's unlikely.
They're saying they're trying to claim they spent $7,000 on paint for this stupid mural on the side of a building. I don't buy it. Not for one second. There's no way a bunch of
there's video of the artist doing the mural.
Was he huffing the paint?
He's very clearly, he's wearing a respirator.
Oh, well, there you go.
So.
But, you know, the point was made, and I think Brita made the point, is it's not just CFC, it's all the volatiles in the paint. You know, it's not just.
Sure.
You know, there's all kinds of nasty stuff in paint that you know, evaporates into the atmosphere as the paint dries. So.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is aerosolized with,
right?
They're kicking it. But this is absolutely par for the course. This is Al Gore on his 100-foot-long houseboat. We're all going to die from climate change inside of 10 years. You know, and going from his 100-foot-long houseboat to his house that uses more electricity than most cities.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a thing in the news where you feel like you're watching something happen and you're kind of like, you're watching a thing take place and at the same time you're going, no, like, cause you know, it's something like they're just setting themselves up for something bad
every day.
Well, since we're talking about Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yeah.
She's making her way back to Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not wishing Greta Thunberg harm at all, because she's, I'm not wishing anybody harm. But I'm just questioning how wise this is in November across the Atlantic Ocean. She is hitching a ride on a catamaran. And they're taking her to Europe, across the Atlantic. on a catamaran.
Yeah, and the story is these are a bunch of like YouTube people that aren't really that experienced in the first place.
Well, they are experienced. They've sailed their catamaran everywhere. Like they've logged thousands of miles on their catamaran. Okay. Great. But I don't know how experienced they are sailing the North Atlantic in November on a catamaran.
Yeah, that didn't sound too smart.
So
and somebody else, or maybe even you, Brita, I'm not certain who brought it up, but does she have a tutor with her?
No.
They pull her out of school just
so of course.
That's how the educational system works. Just take off, you know, a huge chunk of the year and don't
honestly,
worry.
Honestly, Jay, it's not like she's going to get a real education anyway.
Yeah. Well, yes, but you've got to pretend at least. I mean, we got to protect our phony baloney jobs somehow. You can't just have kids decide, you know what, I'm going to be an environmental activist and that's fine.
I don't know. They let kids out to do that all the time.
Apparently.
You know, they organize where the teachers organize those, you know, skip school for the environment day or whatever.
So this Australian couple, catamaran, they're YouTubers, they're influencers, you know, and they make their living. They sail around. They're Australian and they sail around on their catamaran and they have sailed over 90,000 miles.
Wow. Do they stop meddling kids?
No. But they, you know, if you look at, if you go to their website, they have sailed their catamaran in beautiful kind of tropical, warm areas. And so, you know, they're this YouTube couple, and they have been documenting their journey traveling the world by sail, despite no previous sailing experience. This is what it says on their own website. It says, they've been filming it all on YouTube since 2014. We've crossed the Mediterranean, the Atlantic, Caribbean, and Pacific. And now they're raising their baby on the boat. So, but I really know the Atlantic, North Atlantic in November. I wish them luck, and I hope everybody turns out okay, but it just sounds, you know, scary. And I question parents who would put their child, you know, through this.
I'm reluctant to put my 16-year-old daughter on an airplane by herself.
Right.
Let alone, here, get on a catamaran with YouTubers. That just sounds like, it sounds like the plot of a Lifetime movie. You know, my daughter was taken. What happened? Oh, we put her on a catamaran with YouTubers. I'm sorry, we're going to request that you leave body parts behind. Sorry.
It's not, I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, she's raising awareness of climate change.
Something.
I'm like, is she really, though? All she's doing is shrieking and showing the world how how fundamentally unserious the environmental movement is, that they would elevate her to a position of prominence.
Right.
I'm sure she means well. She's not an expert. She's not a climatologist. She's not.
She's a child with autism.
Child.
Who, you know, kids with autism, they get obsessive about a certain subject, and they get obsessive to the point of emotional distraction. And sure, it's useful for the adults in her life to push her in that direction, because look what we're doing. We're saving the environment. We're getting famous. We're talking to the UN.
Got our 15 minutes. We have them in San Francisco.
Yeah, they're like the ultimate stage parents.
You can step over the human waste to go view the mural.
Right.
Where else? Oh, you know what? Speaking of human waste out in public spaces.
Good segue, Jay.
You like that?
That was great. Yep.
Or do we want to continue on the Greta?
Well, I just wanted to ask for a moment, like, how Alan's global warming is going.
Alan? We have set an all-time record for cold days in November in Houston. Since recorded history, there's never been this many days this cold in a row in November.
That's global warming.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Of course. It's a floor wax. It's a dessert topping. It's whatever you want it to be.
So, you know.
It's too cold, global warming. Too hot, global warming. If it rains too much, global warming. If it doesn't rain enough, global warming.
Yep.
The science is settled. Shut up, denier, hater.
Who was it just? Oh, Jean Fonda. I mean, I don't know why I'm bringing up her name, but Jean Fonda, she just said that people who are climate deniers should be treated just like Nazi war criminals.
Yeah.
Okay, Jane.
You keep up with that, Jane. Let us know. Let us know how your scrabbling for relevance goes. Would you? Thanks. I mean, I guess
she's been getting herself arrested every single week because of the climate something. But then I just read an article where she was defending the fact that she doesn't recycle. So, okay.
Well, she has people for that.
Well, I know, but it's like at a certain point, like, you have to think, like, I'm a public person. I need to step up and walk the walk and talk the talk. You know what I mean? It's like, thank you, Mike. I mean, at a certain point, do you hear yourselves?
Oh, no.
They don't.
No. Yeah, if, you know, if I'm the king of self-awareness, Jane Fonda would be the queen of not self-awareness. She has no, you know, she lives in a bubble of whatever the fuck, you know. She has no idea from one minute to the next what the hell she's doing. She can't possibly.
Oh, she knows exactly what she's doing. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm still alive.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's just posturing and bullshit.
It's the new hotness. That's the whole thing. It's in the news. It's a trending topic. You know, it's trending on Twitter, global warming.
Still?
Jeez. They want to be, well, I mean, metaphorically, Alan. You know, okay. You know, this is something I was curious about. And I'm relying on my...
No, Jay, Epstein did not kill himself.
Very well played, Alan. No, Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth. When did that come out? Okay, we're going. We're switching.
It was very popular for a while in the library, I remember. And then
2006.
School teachers were
2006. Oh my god,
13 years ago.
Wasn't that supposed to be the "this is going to happen next year if we don't do stuff" 13 years ago? And yet, New York is not underwater. Florida has not disappeared. Greenland is not a Caribbean style vacation destination because of the warm sandy beaches. Here's the thing. Something may very well be going on. I'm not ruling that out.
Jay?
Yes?
The climate changes.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
It has always changed since the Earth accreted in orbit around the sun. The climate has changed.
That's what it does. It's called climate.
It always changes. It changes constantly. The idea that, you know, the climate now as it is now is the same way it's always been forever, and we have to keep it this way, is insane hubris. I mean, it's crazy.
How does that go? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the idea, you know, the very idea that we had ice ages.
Right.
You know,
and the biggest problem I have is they're so over the top wrong.
If we don't
act immediately, and what do they mean by act? They mean hobble the United States, because nobody gives a rat's ass about China or India,
right,
who have increased their output.
Well, they know that China doesn't give a shit about what they say, right? The people that run right. China could not give two fucks about what the environmentalists say. So, and they know that it's pointless to try to even involve China. Where they can get some traction is all the idiots in the first world countries, in Europe and the United States, where, you know, people buy into the bullshit and go, oh yeah, that's great, let's do that. Climate, yeah, build windmills, build solar power, you know, kill the birds, poison the earth with your solar panel bullshit. You know.
Strip mine is using child slave labor to get the rare earth materials
from China.
Yeah.
Because that's where it comes from.
But, you know, I watched a YouTube the other day, last night I think it was, and there's these two YouTubers, and they live in Japan. He's Japanese, she's like American or whatever, they're married. And they did a video about cleaning up Japan's beaches. And this is Japan, which is a super, normally super clean country, right? Their beaches, I have never seen anything like it. I was appalled and amazed at the same time. The beach is covered in garbage. There's mm-hmm. garbage in the surf in Japan. Yeah. And I can only imagine it's because it's in Asia. Yeah. I mean, there's like kids playing in the water on the beach, and there's like plastic garbage in the surf. There's plastic all over the fucking beach. Where do you see that in the United States?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
I'm telling you, not in Pensacola, Florida.
Nowhere. I mean, to the extent that, I mean, you see some litter on the beach. Yeah, there's some litter on the beach, every beach. But it's a little bit of litter, right? This was like, they spent 4 hours cleaning up a tiny section of beach, picking up the plastics. It was amazing. And this is Japan, which they pride themselves on their cleanliness. You know, Japan is a very tidy country.
Yes, and tentacles.
Yes, and tentacle. But, like, I can only imagine it's because it's in Asia, and the garbage situation in Asia is a lot different than it is here. And it just angers me that we're the ones getting lectured about our recycling and about our environment and about whatever the fuck else, and Greta Thunberg, and go talk to China about their plastic problem, because apparently they're just putting it all in the water.
Well, and that brings up another point. We're lectured, we're told we need to do something. We have to do something, the mythical something that we have to do. Nobody gets into specifics on that. Oh, you have to reduce your carbon footprint. You have to reduce your CO2 emissions. Really?
Why?
How?
Stop breathing, Jay.
Exactly. It's, you know, I mean, you got fucking Jason Momoa, the great thinker, telling us that humans are a plague on the planet. Okay, if you believe that, Epstein yourself. Oh, wait, no, Epstein didn't kill himself.
Well, first of all, Jason Momoa, don't talk. You don't need to talk, Jason Momoa. Just stand there, look pretty.
I don't understand what compels these people to make such asinine statements. If you really believe that, and you have not killed yourself.
Right.
What does that mean? You
and Jason Momoa has had two children. So, okay.
Yeah. You know, so we need to do something. We need to reduce this. We need to reduce that. How? How are we going to do that? And it feeds back into my big problem with the environmentalist movement, which is you propose that you know, we've got to do something. These horrible, horrible things are going to happen. The human race is going to cease to exist in 10 years if we don't do this. Why are you doing that? Because it is going to be proven demonstrably false, because it has for the past at least 50 years. You've been wrong.
Right.
Why not just say, hey, guys, it's a good idea to recycle things. It's a good idea to clean up. It's a good idea to not waste stuff.
Because how else will Democrats get elected?
Yeah. Oh, they just commit fraud, like in Virginia. Oh, yeah.
Good segue.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a case of, oops, we found a whole bunch of fraud. And you have to dig to the very bottom to find out that, oh, yeah. The guy who died in 2014 was registered as a Democrat in the most recent election. But, you know, ignore the man behind the curtain. Voter fraud doesn't exist. Shut up, you fucking racist, for wanting ID. Anyway, but back to the previous segue about stepping over human waste in San Francisco. There was a lovely story out of Denver, Colorado, where they passed a similar resolution that they said, we're not going to prosecute people for shitting on the sidewalk. And now they are fining the businesses for not cleaning the shit off the sidewalk in front of their businesses.
I would say I'm shocked, but I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. This is the it's not even hubris. It's like the fuck you peasant.
Yeah.
These people can shit on the sidewalk in front of your business and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. But we're going to come and find you if you don't take care of it. Now, remember, human waste
it's hazardous waste.
Biohazard.
Yeah, it's a biohazard. Yeah.
When you're cleaning human waste off the property and that you own, you can't just take a big hose and spray it off into the street.
Right. You'll just spray it down the drain. Because
I'm sure you get fined for that.
So they're supposed to spend all this money to take care of human waste that you can't prevent people from doing.
Right.
If you see a homeless person shitting on the sidewalk, it's like, oh, well. I'm like, have we stepped through the looking glass?
Yes.
Because, I'm sorry, you're shitting on the sidewalk? You're naked in public. Boom. Public indecency. Arrest them.
Oh, you can't do that anymore.
Again, they're just trying to hasten the descent in the toilet. See what I did there? Because, you know, they're shitting on the sidewalk. It'd be nice if they used a toilet. It's like, look, we don't need gender-specific bathrooms anymore. You can just shit in the sidewalk. Who cares? You know, interesting.
Well, you know, are there places in cities like that where the homeless can go take a crap? I mean, like,
I'm sure
aside they're going from the library, Starbucks, right?
Starbucks isn't
allowed to kick anybody out anymore. Even if you're not buying anything, you just come in and sit there all day long if you want, right?
That's the theory.
Yeah, so why aren't the homeless going to Starbucks?
Because they don't have to.
They're going to just poop on the street like a dog.
You have to remember that the homeless are homeless for two reasons. One, they're insane. And they're all high as shit.
Yep.
So they're not going to bother when you're stoned out of your mind on heroin or whatever the fuck,
you're not going to bother walking down the street to Starbucks or whatever. You're just going to drop trow and do it right there.
Yep.
Because who gives a fuck? And then you're going to stumble back to your, you know, whatever and take another hit. So it's not, you know, you're trying to think of it like a normal person.
Right.
Who would not want to take a dump in the street. It would be desperate to find a public restroom they could use, you know, even if it was a gross one that hadn't been cleaned well, because that's better than doing it in the street. These people don't think that way.
I'm just like, shit, I have trouble taking a piss if there's another human in the bathroom. I mean, no problem dropping trowel and just dropping a deuce right there on the sidewalk.
Yeah, they don't care.
Right there in the concrete. There you go.
Right in front of everybody, too. They don't care if somebody's watching.
Oh, my Lord.
In fact, if you're watching, that's bonus.
I just... Well, again, it's, you know, if you get caught taking a leak in public, you're a sex offender.
Yeah.
But they can shit in public with no repercussions. How long can you have this dual-tiered justice system? How long can that sustain before people are like, fuck it? I'm just going to shit in public. I don't have to look for a bathroom. Just drop your pants on the sidewalk, because you can't. San Francisco, Denver, you can't arrest them. So they can't arrest you for taking a piss. So you go to, you know, the local elementary school and stand out front and take a piss. Well, you've already...
Here's the thing, Jay. You got to remember, okay? These are cops. They don't want to put that smelly, disgusting person in the back of their car, because then they'll have to clean it out. Sure. They have no trouble putting you in the back of the car.
Yeah.
So... Guess what's going to happen when you whip it out and pee on the side of a building?
I hate that.
You're going to get arrested. The homeless, stinky guy? No.
You know, again, though, you can only have that dual tier for so long before the whole fucking thing crumbles to the ground.
Well,
and, you
sure,
know,
but you know what? They don't care about, you know, for people, for liberals, the past doesn't exist and the future doesn't exist. There's only now, and that's all they care about.
You keep pushing the red states, and that's what's going to happen. You know, like this fucking asshole, who's he? The guy who,
more specific.
Yeah, I know. I believe he was a West Coast educator who tweeted, well, it's good that people in rural America suffer. I'm like,
yeah,
you
that guy.
Fuck yeah. You know what they make? That you need food.
Yeah.
Without middle America, you starve to death in the fucking dark with no water.
Isn't he the one that said that they're so dumb they can't move to the city, they deserve what they get, basically?
Pretty much. And, you know, it's good that they suffer because they're, you know, ignorant. And if anyone on the right were to say that about anyone on the left, they would be fucking pilloried. And again, at this point in time, they're biased. Get over it. We've got to work around this. We can complain about the media being biased all we want. It's a fact. It's like water is wet. The sun is bright. Get over it. Start working around it. You've got mail.
Dang.
Fries are done. Oh, boy. So... What else do we want to talk? Oh, yeah.
What else is going on in the news? I have no idea.
There's this other thing going on that, you know.
What's happening, Jay?
Wait a minute. Whatever.
Jay what? Didn't tell us about his trip to Florida.
No, not at all.
Oh, well, you know that we can interrupt with a fun segue. That was a wonderful, wonderful trip, other than our flight out, which was delayed from mechanical difficulties, but overall not a bad thing. We ended up getting a hotel in Atlanta, courtesy of Delta. And it was very nice. So, but I got to go on a Navy base, which was cool. I'd never been on a Navy base before. It looks suspiciously like a college campus, interestingly enough, which, you know, kind of makes sense because it's where they go for school. So, we went to the Naval Aviation Museum, which, if you like planes, is very, very cool. It reminded me a lot of the new Smithsonian, the Udvar-Hazy Museum. They have lots of planes, except at the Naval Aviation Museum, they've got planes like out on runways.
Ooh, neat.
And they fly some of them, which is really cool. They had two different trainers. One was a two-seater prop plane, and they had a small jet, and they were like constantly buzzing around, and it was really, really neat. But you know, we got to see our son for a whole weekend instead of just like an afternoon, and I got to escort him off the base, which was kind of neat. I got to be his Liberty buddy. Alan, did you have Liberty buddies in the Marines?
No.
There was no Liberty in the Marines.
We just got to go do whatever the fuck we wanted.
But did there have to be more than one of you?
No.
Ah, see, now apparently they need to have a Liberty buddy. Now, what that means is you have to sign.
Well, I mean, we usually went in groups someplace, but that was, I mean, it wasn't required. It was just like, you know, hey, let's go to whatever, you know. There wasn't anybody checking anybody off and making sure somebody, you know, had their buddy and counted off or anything. Of course, that was, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah. It was interesting because...
Are you in the bathroom?
Wow.
No, I'm not in the bathroom.
You got echoey all of a
sudden. Sounds like you're in the bathroom, Jay.
Anyway.
If we hear you flush, we'll know.
Wouldn't be the first time, right?
I never flush, Alan. Come on. That would increase my carbon footprint. I couldn't have that. I don't want to be scolded by Greta. You're
such an environmentalist.
No, if I was going to poop, I'd be out on the sidewalk in front of my house. Come on. No, but one of the interesting things was we had to go to the quarterdeck and sign my son out, and a lot of his friends were there, and I was repeatedly introduced as his dad, and they all called me Pops, which I was like, oh,
that's cute.
Like, hey, Pops, how you doing? I'm like, shut up.
That's adorable, though. Oh,
they're all so damn young.
Well, yeah.
Like, even
Jay is in the bathroom.
Yeah, he is.
Actually, I think at this point, Jay is standing in his shower.
He might be.
Standing in my shower.
your buds are waterproof, mostly.
Not the phone, though.
I don't know. I did have to move about the house, and I did turn the mute on a few times because there's stuff going on. Anyway, there's stuff. It did not involve my bathroom or my shower.
Okay. Right? You can say that, but we don't believe you.
But Pensacola is a lovely area. It's very interesting because it reminded me of like a whole bunch of different areas at the same time, because it's a armed forces base, which, you know, it's like Watertown, New York. I've been out there for Fort Drum, and it's pretty much the only other area I've been other than, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. But, you know, the whole like, there's a shit ton of used car lots and a shit ton of pawn shops and a whole bunch of adult-themed businesses. So, like, you know you're near a base of some sort.
Or Tampa.
Yeah, well, Tampa is Tampa. But then there's also, like, the kitschy downtown beach area that's, like, we want to be Key West, but we know we're not because we're on the Gulf Coast and we still see snow every once in a while. But then there was also the downtown area, and I'm making air quotes here, because it was like, oh, you so want to be like, you know what it reminded me of? Was Charlotte, North Carolina.
How so?
For just the whole arts festivals, and you know, there's all these themed restaurants, and it just reminded me when we were there in 2010.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, Martha's Vineyard or any artsy place, it was trying so hard. We're like, we really want to be this hip, cool downtown area that's a block and a half. Yeah. And the beach area was about a block and a half. And it was nice. It was really nice. You know, the beaches were gorgeous. I mean, they groom them, and they're that white sand. And
not covered in plastic.
Not covered in plastic. There was nobody shitting on the sidewalk. You know,
awesome.
I'll give them props for that. But it was a very good time. We had a very enjoyable few days.
Nice.
And nobody pooped on the sidewalk, and nobody declared their presidency, like, you know, Deval Patrick.
And there we go.
There we go.
I knew you couldn't resist that one.
I can't.
Talk to us about Deval Patrick.
Deval Patrick, he was governor of Massachusetts for, what, two terms, I think? And, I mean, pretty much Deval Patrick is like, it's really hard to describe. He's tone deaf. As bland as you could possibly get. He should be a Republican, because
he's
done nothing but work for giant corporations like fucking Exxon.
Oh. His whole,
he took a, what was he, governor for 6 years? He was governor of Massachusetts for two terms, and he came from big business. He went back to big business. I don't understand how he's a Democrat, because he's done nothing but shill for big businesses. He is ridiculously fake. Like, not fake, just he's a blank canvas, and he will happily pretend to be whatever you want him to be.
Well, it worked for Obama.
Yeah.
Sure.
But Obama didn't make his money working for Exxon and Bain Capital and...
Oh, I'm pretty sure he did, Jay.
And just...
You don't step out from being the president and go in being like, you know, having no money and come out being a multimillionaire without working for those guys.
Yeah, and tie that into the whole global warming thing. Yeah. If the sea can rise, why the fuck did Barack Obama spend $15 million on a fucking house on an island?
Yeah. How does a guy who spent, you know, what was it, 8 years making $400,000 a year buy a $15 million house?
Yeah.
So, like, on a scale of 1 to Hank Johnson, how dumb is he?
No, he's absolutely not a dumb person.
Okay.
He's just evil.
I don't even know he's evil.
He's evil. Trust
clueless.
Me. He's evil.
The first thing he did when he took over in Massachusetts was have his wife redesign the governor's mansion.
Of course.
Spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the Ford Crown Victorias that had been perfectly fine for Mitt Romney, who could buy and sell Deval Patrick, weren't good enough. They had to go to Cadillacs. Hence the Cadillac Deval. And, you know... His biggest thing was jacking the sales tax from 5 to 6.25%. You know, because you're a Democrat, you raise taxes is what you do. And then done. He was done. He was preceded by Mitt Romney, succeeded by Charlie Baker. He had a Republican on either end. And how bad do things have to be that you get replaced by a Republican? Now, Charlie Baker's a Republican in the sense that...
Republican in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah. Well, I know Alan and I are car nuts, but Charlie Baker's a Republican in the sense that a Lada or a Trabant is technically an automobile. It's got four wheels and an engine and it sometimes runs, but nobody really considers them to be viable transportation. You know, Charlie Baker anywhere outside of Massachusetts would be a, you know, pretty far left liberal.
That reminds me of a joke. It's an old Russian joke. Guy goes into the Lada dealership and walks up to a salesman who is giving him no time at all. And he finally gets his attention and says, "I want to buy a car." The guy says, "We don't finance cash up front. You know, until we get the cash, you know, it's paid in full, we don't order it. And then you go on a waiting list." The guy's fine. I've got the money. I got cash right here. So he pays the cash, and the guy, you know, enters the order in and says, "Okay, we'll be delivering it 10 years from now on March 25th." And the guy goes, "Morning or afternoon?" And the guy in the car dealership goes, "What do you care? It's 10 years from now." And the guy goes, "Yeah, but I'm getting my dishwasher delivered that day." Russian jokes.
Yes. Well, obviously, they influenced our election. Ooh. Yeah.
And then there's that thing about Deval Patrick's brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah. The sex...
Did you hear about it?
The sex offender guy.
Yeah. In 2014, Deval Patrick fired leaders of his state sex offender registry for trying to force his brother-in-law to register as a sex offender because he was convicted of a rape in California in 1993. 5 years later, that same rapist was sentenced to 6 years for another rape. This is not a dude I would vote for.
Can't imagine why he'd want to... Wouldn't want to be on a sex offender list. Well, you know, again, this is just, you know, this is attention seeking. There's some other motive, you know, why
for running for president.
Well, yeah, I mean, he obviously has no chance in hell of getting it. And all
I don't know. I think people like him probably thinks that he does. Like he's probably like, "Well, you know, I'm a light-skinned black dude. I'm kind of like passable. The Democrats are in trouble right now." And what's the other light-skinned black dude running? Cory Booker.
Is he running?
That's the whole. I thought he was out.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, these guys have to know that they don't have a chance of winning.
How
against Trump? Hillary thought she had it locked, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, oh, and Hillary thinks, they keep tossing around Hillary. Oh, Hillary, maybe she might run.
Hillary thinks people are begging her to run. I don't.
Please. I'm begging her to run.
What did she say? What'd she say? Like, she's getting so much pressure to run? I'm like, really? From who?
From me.
Who?
Please run, Hillary. Please.
What Democrats want Hillary to run, not you.
I would love to see her lose again. Do it.
Oh, according to her, she's already beat Trump once.
Yeah.
That's not how things work.
Yeah. You know, I do kind of wish she would jump in and get the nomination.
Oh, God.
Because I guarantee you, Trump would make it a point to not only trounce her again electorally, but win the popular vote as well. Just
oh, so yeah.
Because the trolling alone would be phenomenal. I mean,
well, if you look at the pool right now of who's running on the Democrat side, they are all like fully embracing socialism.
Oh yeah.
And to get in the race, Hillary would have to do that. Hillary would have to go there.
And you know, it
I mean, like she's there already in, you know, her personal life. She's there already. But like she'd have to come out and actually be that, you know, like Elizabeth Warren, like Bernie. She'd have to be that. People are still lamenting over the fact that, you know, 2016, like the whole Democrat National Convention, you know, kind of pushed out Bernie. Oh, we should have had Bernie, but we ended up with Hillary. Oh, we could have won with Bernie. So Hillary would have to go there.
But now Bernie's been endorsed by AOC, which...
Well, there you go.
Irony of that.
Yeah.
You have to stop and savor that the hip squad of AOC and her band of miscreants endorsed the oldest, whitest dude in the entire fucking world running for president.
Right.
Bernie fucking Sanders. I mean, if there, this Bernie Sanders is the fucking political epitome of Maynard G. Krebs. This, did not hold a job until he was in his 40s, and he
that wasn't a real job, Jimmy.
He has never held a private sector job in his life. He has only worked in politics, and he's worth millions, and owns multiple homes, and espouses the values of socialism. If there's not a more pure example of hypocrisy than Bernie Sanders, I have yet to see it.
That's a pure example of socialism, Jay.
Yes, ruling party. That's the how ruling it works. Party. Yes. But it's okay because, you know, one out of three millennials thinks that socialism is kind and wonderful and.
Yeah, socialism is being nice to other people or some bullshit.
Yes, yes.
My favorite quote was from one of those airheads was, a true socialist would never make someone do something they didn't want to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell that to the millions and millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people killed by socialist countries.
Yes.
In the
20s. Obviously, Alan, they all wanted to die. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. They all wanted to be Epstein.
Speaking of the Epstein thing, isn't it hilarious? Like, it is starting to filter out into, like, national news. When they're interviewing people now, people are at the end of the interview, they're like, Epstein didn't kill himself. And, yeah. And it's like on live TV. They can't. Filter they can't edit it out. It's great.
Well, and I'm what surprises me about that is they haven't turned it into this is another neo-Nazi dog whistle.
Just wait,
because how? I mean, I know they will, but you're gonna make
Jeffrey Epstein's brother is saying Epstein didn't kill himself.
But you know the fix was in, so let's not talk about it. We won't discuss it. We won't reopen anything.
Oh my God! I just googled Epstein and the news, and it says Syria's Assad's, and just says Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Syria's President Bashar Assad. Okay. Oh Lord.
Oh goodness.
Oh, the memes the memes are fantastic, though. You know, it's...
Yeah.
They're working into pretty much everything.
Yeah. It's like I'm not even surprised anymore. There'll be some meme, you know, list of, you know, going through this, and Epstein didn't kill himself.
It's like an addendum. It's become the Kilroy Was Here of a generation.
Yes.
Of course, you know, the real travesty is that, you know, we know he didn't, but no one will ever face prosecution for it.
No, of course not.
There's another funny story about the Kilroy thing. Apparently during one of those conferences where I forget when it was, it had like Stalin and Churchill and Roosevelt. And there's a story that there was a special bathroom set aside for them and only them.
Okay.
So they were the only ones that ever went in there. And at some point, Stalin was said to have come out and asked his translator, "Who the fuck is Kilroy?"
Nice. Who wrote it, though?
I don't know if that's a true story or not, but I've heard it said several places. So it had to have been, you know, it was either Churchill or Roosevelt that put
it in there. It sounds like an allegorical story.
It does. But I like it.
I like it too.
It is. And Jay's right. It is. Epstein Didn't Kill Himself is like the modern day Kilroy Was Here.
You know, while we're talking about hang on a second. One of our, I'm not going to name him because it'll be easy to find on Facebook, so I'm not going to out him, but one of our friends on the Score Report posted something about the borders of the generations.
Oh, yes.
And I thought it was really interesting.
That was good. I agree with it.
And you agree with it. Mm-hmm. So, like his theory was that there are major events, major world events that bracket generations. And
greatest generation.
It's,
so.
Well, it's based on the fourth turning theory. But
yeah, okay.
It's
go on.
Well, it's you were doing fine.
No, whatever you just brought up, please explain because I don't know what it is.
Oh, well, there's a old, it's not that old, there's a theory, I forget who said it. It's the Strauss-Howe generational theory. I just Googled it. I didn't know off the top of my head. But
okay.
It's also known as the fourth turning theory, but basically it says that society goes through these four generational turnings. The first one's high, which is like institutions are strong, individuals weak, society is confident where it wants to go collectively, and those outside the majoritarian center often feel stifled by conformity. And then the next generation is awakening, an era where institutions are attacked in the name of personal and spiritual autonomy. And then comes the unraveling generation, where it's the opposite of high, which is institutions are weak and distrusted. Individualism is strong and flourishing. And then crisis, where an era of destruction, often involving war or revolution, in which institutional life is destroyed and rebuilt. So you know, you can say the boomer generation was you know, during the 50s and all, that's the high, where institutions were strong, society was confident, and then the awakening.
Right. And the world events bracketing that was Hiroshima.
Right. So,
and JFK getting assassinated.
Right. So what he said was that the boomers are bracketed by the nuclear bombs and the assassination of Kennedy.
Right.
And then the next generation, what was that? Gen X? Gen X, I guess, is from Kennedy to the World Trade Center. And the millennials are from World Trade Center.
No, Gen X is after JFK was shot and before Hinckley shot Reagan.
From Kennedy to Reagan getting shot. And then the millennials are from Reagan getting shot.
To the towers.
To 9/11. And then the post-millennials, whatever we're calling them, who knows.
After 9/11.
They're from after 9/11 to whatever the fuck hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And so the idea is that those fit into these four turnings of, you know, so we are theoretically in the fourth turning now, which is the crisis turning. So we will see.
But so you know, the Gen Z is like the crisis, right?
Right.
So is this cycle cyclical? Like, yes. Will we come back to the beginning again?
Yeah, these guys have traced this back. They've traced it back for like thousands of years. I mean, they started off back in like 1433, mm-hmm. and follow it through. You know, each, you know, these generational, they say it follows. You know, general. I mean, you can argue about what they're, you know, whether they're right or wrong or whatever, but. You know, they're, you know, they talk about the, you know, like the turnings of the that happened, you know, around the Civil War, right? So the Civil War was a fourth turning crisis. Mm. The third turning crisis that led up to the Civil War was the Mexican War and before that was the, you know, 1822 to 1842, you know, Transcendental Awakening, 1792 to 1821, the first turning high social institution era of good feelings kind of thing. And then it rolls through from that. So World War II, the silent generation, which was the, you know, the depression in World War II, that was the fourth turning crisis for that cycle. So they tend to map boundaries of their like 20 years or so. Mm. So, and you know, I was born in 1963 and I never in my life identified with any boomer anywhere.
Before or after Kennedy got shot?
2 months after.
So you're technically.
So you remember Man Walking on the Moon?
Yes. I watched it on TV. I have vivid you, memories of watching that.
You know it's true because you saw it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
So you're just 2 months a Gen X.
Yes.
Ah.
Which,
and Jay, you're Gen X too, right?
I'm solid Gen X.
I am as well.
But yeah. But I make the point because I never felt part of the boomer generation because by the time I got old enough to do whatever the fuck it was that boomers were supposed to have been doing, they already ruined it for me.
So right? We can't give you a good rousing okay boomer.
No, because you know, they did, you know, every because I, you know, you follow You follow along behind this huge mass of people that screw everything up, right? And you come along at the tail end of that, and everybody's sick of their shit. So when I turned okay for decade, you know, basically forever, the drinking age in Texas was 18. I can't tell you how much I look forward to being 18. And like the year before I turned 18, they ranged the drinking age to 19. And then when I turned 18, they raised the drinking age to 21.
Oh, no.
And I was like, fuck you, boomers.
Ah.
This is not to mention that Alan has one drink and falls asleep.
Yeah, well, that's beside the point, right?
Okay, it's beside the point.
It's totally beside the point.
Damn.
You know, and you know, I, you know, they had the, you know, the, you know, peace, you know, the hippies had their free love. I never got any of that. You know, it was, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I never got, hell, by the time I was in middle school, it was the fucking war on drugs. You know, I mean, they went from like when I was in, I distinctly remember when I was in sixth grade, you'd hear stories of like the older kids who got caught with like beer or pot or whatever, and the cops would just make them dump it out on the side of the road. They didn't even bother arresting them. And by the time I was in high school, they were arresting people for shit like that, left and right. So, just saying. Fucking boomers.
That's going to be an thing, because the cops just confiscated the beer.
Well, yeah, they'd confiscate the beer, and they'd make you dump the pot out on the side of the road. So, that was...
And now you can buy it at dispensaries.
Yeah, see, I get screwed both ways.
Which, again... You will not find someone who is more pro-legalization than me. But right now, what is happening is just begging for a humongous fucking slapdown. Because you've got all these states going, ooh, it's legal, it's legal, it's legal. And the federal government's like, fuck you, it's illegal.
Mm.
And nothing good ever happens when the states disagree with the feds. See, oh, I don't know, 1861. Just saying. There's going to be a reckoning.
I think what'll happen is they'll just make it legal nationwide.
I would be very happy. It is fucking retardedly stupid that marijuana is illegal. There's literally no reason for it to be illegal. It is better than alcohol. I've never seen two stone people get in a knockdown, drag-out fist fight because they've macrameed their fucking asses to the couch. You know, if you talk it just purely in terms of societal damage.
There aren't any mean stoners is what you're saying.
Exactly. You know, you're stoned. What do you fucking care? You're like, you're fucking Cheech and Chong, you know, versus you're angry drunk.
Dave's not here, man.
An angry drunk.
Right.
Does anybody know an angry stoner? No. What's the stoner? Jeff Spicoli, Cheech and Chong. You're like, dude, that's it. These are not people who are like getting in your face trying to start a fight because they're stoned. No, they're looking for Fritos. That's really it. You know, I knew a lot of guys who were like, you know, they got shit hammered and they wanted to start a fight. Stoners are like, can we get a pizza?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've got on the one hand, you know, who's your angry drunk? Okay. I'm going to throw out deep cuts here from 1980s popular culture. Chet, the older brother in Weird Science. Your stoners.
Chet, the pile of shit.
Are the Big Lebowski. Who would you rather hang with? Do you want to be with the asshole brother Chet or the Big Lebowski? I don't know about you, but I want to hang with the dude. Right? He just seems like genuinely more fun. This could also be the observations of someone who's well into a bottle of port. So I'm just saying.
Well, whatever it is people do, don't do it and then drive.
Exactly.
All I ask.
And that's probably the biggest problem I have is like everyone's like, oh, well, what do you do? What do? You follow the same framework as alcohol. If you're under the influence, you go to jail. That's not hard. And you know what? It's not hard to spot the people that are driving while high because they're going 10 fucking miles an hour down the middle of the road.
That's true.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you're pissing off old Chinese people. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the old retirees behind you going, come on, drive faster.
You got the old lady from Ferris Bueller's Day Off honking her horn and giving you the finger. Come on. You know,
I got to tell you that the okay boomer thing is working out really well in our house. Okay. Because you know, every time Mike starts this, like, you know, when I was a kid,
okay, boomer,
okay, boomer, and I'm so happy to be able to do that now.
Oh my god,
I said it for the first time the other day, and it was beautiful. Okay, boomer.
I like the what was the meme that Gen X says we hated the boomers before you did.
And also, like, Gen X hates millennials and boomers. So
that's right.
We hate everybody. Now we're gonna
put everybody.
Okay, millennials.
Let's get our trench coats and go to the mall.
Jeez.
Oh boy.
You know,
well over time, you know.
I'm gonna say one more thing.
Okay.
Remember, Jay, Brita, you may not remember this because you're a girl.
What?
Remember,
wow.
Well, it really wasn't a girl thing. And if you did it, try me. Awesome. Remember, Jay, going and hanging out at the arcade?
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, you take a pocket full of quarters, or, you know, you take 10 bucks and you get a pocket full of quarters.
Oh, that was such a huge thing, but it didn't last very long.
No, it didn't last very long, but it was like, if I had to pick something that defined our generation, it was those video games at the arcade. Yep. Not video games sitting on the sofa at your house.
Because
we didn't have that.
You got to stand up, play the thing.
You had to stand up and you had to line your quarter up to play next and all that stuff. And
What was your favorite game?
My favorite game was Galaga.
Jay, what was your favorite game?
Oh my! Okay, I'm like really gonna out myself as a geek, but Dig Dug.
Oh, Dig Dug was good. I like that one too.
Just strategy and blowing shit up. Woohoo!
I really like Caterpillar.
Caterpillar was fun.
Yeah. And the reason I like Caterpillar was because it had the ball.
Yes, trackball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't have like a thing. It was just like that ball.
Right. Oh, what was the one where you blew up the missiles coming in?
It's Missile Command.
Missile Command. That was fun too.
And I mean, Asteroid was just fun, because
Asteroid. Was
That's all you did: spin around in a circle and shoot stuff.
Yeah, but that was like one of the first ones after Pong.
Yeah, yes, it was. And then Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Did your Pizza Hut have a Pac-Man table?
Yes.
The table.
That was the shit.
We had a Pac-Man table and a Galaga table.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Oh, wow.
I would pay thousands of dollars to have one of those right now. That would be so awesome.
If googling it,
I would pay actual hard money to have one of those
table game.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
Those were so cool because you could set a drink right on it and play. It was so much fun.
Oh shit!
Donkey Kong was also a big fan. I was a big fan of Donkey Kong, and also I can like kind of recall the music in my head. The Donkey Kong.
Oh yeah,
Kong
the
music.
8-bit sound.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God, they're available on Amazon, Alan.
Really?
What?
Yes, they are.
How much are they?
Oh my God.
Really?
It's loading right. Oh God, $26.99. Oh shit.
What?
Yeah, $2,700 bucks.
Where?
Oh, $2,700.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was like, what? $26.99. I'll have two. Okay.
It's because it's got Dig Dug. Fuck. Oh my God. Rolling Thunder. Oh shit.
Damn, Jay.
Oh my God.
You're gonna have to send me a link. I can't.
Oh my God. You're gonna have to put it. Created a monster.
But okay, here's one. Q-Bert.
Oh, I like Q-Bert. That was fun.
Yeah, the little dude with the funny nose. Yeah. Like, what the heck happened here?
Boink, 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 boink.
The snakes would chase you because it had to be snakes. But I mean, video games. I very distinct junior high going to the mall.
Uh-huh.
And
or even at the 7-Eleven, they had two or three. You know, they had Joust and they had
Joust. Oh my god!
They had Defender and what was the other one they always had? I can't remember.
Oh my god, Defender! It was Pac-Man was on Pac-Man or Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah. What was the Frogger? Karate, what was Frogger? Yeah, they had Frogger, and there was sometimes the karate one. What was that?
Double Dragon.
Yeah, or Street Fighter or something. I can't remember what the.
Yeah, finish him. Oh my god! But yeah, you're right. And I'll posit that the Atari 2600 started the decline.
Yeah.
NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, really like. It had the arcade on the ropes, and then by the time you busted open the PC, it was done. Once you could sit at your PC and play any game in the known universe.
Yeah. I remember even the video game arcades lasted up until maybe the late 80s.
Yeah.
I want to say, and then they just went poof.
That's when Nintendo got huge.
Yeah.
You know, once the NES came about, it was not long before you had the Sega Genesis and the hell was that other one?
PlayStation.
The whole bunch of leading up to the PlayStation and Xbox, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And you know, they got to the point where, like, okay, here's one. I'll throw down a name. I can't think of the name. It was the one where it was cartoon quality. And you were a knight and you... Oh, my God. And I'm sure... This is one of those, when you put this up, people are going to be like, well, Jay, you idiot, it's this. Think of that video game. Oh, my God, I'm drawing a complete blank. Alan, you'll know the one because it wasn't just an 8-bit. It was like... It looked like a cartoon.
Dragon's Lair.
Yes. Thank you, Brita. Oh,
okay, Jay, let me just say I'm a librarian, and all I did was I went to Google and I put cartoon quality arcade game night. this is why I have my job. Dragon's Lair.
There you go.
That is exactly it. It was Dirk something was the main character's name. And that was absolutely like a game changer for video games because it went from everything looked like Pac-Man or, you know, it was that 8-bit, you had 8 colors, you had fucking 8 notes in the music, to all of a sudden it looked like you were playing a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember that one. That was like, that's one of those ones, that was one of the ones where people would like stand around and watch other people play just because it was like,
yeah, ooh, look at yeah. that. Like, holy shit.
Oh, Space Invaders. That was the other big one.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. Space Invaders and Asteroids were like the ground floor video games.
Yep.
And then your Pac-Man was your next level. And then it just exploded. And you had the whole Namco series. Frogger and Dig Dug and just Defender and all that, everything. Berserker.
I kind of want to play Dragon's Lair now. It's cool.
Well, there you go.
All right. Anyway. On that note, we're
way over time, but it was fun.
It was fun.
We've covered everything from Epstein to Dragon's Lair. Yeah. what other podcast gives you such a wide range of pop culture references? None.
There you go.
None at all. All right, peoples, we'll be back next week.
Next week, same scroll time, same scroll channel.
And Epstein still did not
still. General Francisco Franco is still dead. Yep. And Epstein didn't kill himself.
Good night, everybody.